I wanted to talk about Joseph this morning, and in the passage we read, there was a passage from Isaiah that Matthew highlighted about the prophecy about the virgin giving birth to a son. So we're going to go back and forth between that passage and the Matthew passage. So, what kinds of things do you think are going on today that were going on at the time of Matthew and Jesus' birth? That were going on at the time of Isaiah and King Ahaz? Fighting off invasion, asking alliance with superpowers. Is that going on today? I hear lots of speeches from President Zelensky of Poland asking for aid and the invasion of Russia into the Ukraine. One of the passages in Isaiah, it just always reminds me of today. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. I don't know how many times I've heard conspiracy or conspiracies in the last 5 years, more than I ever heard about it before, other than reading about history, conspiracies in history. It just seems like it's all the news people want to talk about. Well, there's, you know, he did this and he did this and this is what's going to happen to us because of that. And you can think about a conspiracy, whether you liked the vaccine, whether you didn't like the vaccine, whether you should have taken it, whether you shouldn't have. What are we going to do with all the rest of them? All of these things, they're all just like, oh my goodness, get a life. Conspiracies. What else? Ignoring God's holiness. Isaiah was told, the Lord Almighty is the one that you are to regard as holy. How many people even know what holiness is? Or it's, don't bother me about that. I'm going to live my life the way I want. That hasn't changed right from the beginning. Looking for guidance in dark ways and places. My son has a friend who's walked away from the Lord, and he's a friend with him. And that's tough. It's tough on the family, it's tough on my son, because he's a nice kid. And he also had to do a project where he had to interview someone who was religious, but not a Christian. And so we interviewed the girlfriend of a friend. And she's into New Age. And she said, don't talk to me about Jesus. Jesus the man is okay, but when you call him God, that's just, I can't handle that. In the passage in Isaiah, it says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? People are looking for answers, but their own way, not God's way. And some of it we just say, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Do you really believe that kind of garbage is going to help you? I'm not biased or anything. And God said to Isaiah, if anyone does not speak according to God's word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam throughout the land. And when they are famished, they will become enraged. And looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Are people angry with God? Are people just angry with everybody? And they'll curse the government. Some will just complain. We all complain sometimes. But some people are just so angry. And then the Lord told Isaiah, they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. A lot of people are like that today. There has been such a rise in mental illnesses in the past 4 or 5 years. We had a young person commit suicide. It's boggling, it's heartbreaking, and people, if they follow in paths that they're going, are just overwhelmed by the darkness, and they don't see the light, they don't see any hope. And believe you me, our world needs hope. And people are steadily trying to destroy any hope that anybody could have. Whether you are in 730 BC with Isaiah, or in 4 BC with Christ being born and Joseph and Mary, or in 2022, we all need God's message of hope. So let's compare Joseph with King Ahaz, because that's the message that Isaiah was bringing to Ahaz. Joseph, the Bible says, was a righteous man. Ahaz was not. His grandfather and his father and his son, Hezekiah, were godly kings. But Ahaz was evil. He even offered his baby son on an altar to a foreign god. He was just awful. And yet God sent messages of hope to this evil king. It's surprising, all the people in the Old Testament who were not following God and who were powerful, anti-God, they had their own gods, and God sent messages of hope to them. Think of Nebuchadnezzar, King Ahaz, and many others. So what was Joseph's problem? He found out his fiance was pregnant, and it wasn't by him. And he was a just man. He was going to divorce her quietly, but can you imagine how he felt knowing that? He said he was thinking about what to do, and he was turning it over to his mind, and he didn't know the right thing to do. He was considering divorcing her, but doing it quietly because he didn't want to bring her into disgrace. He loved Mary. And yet the law said, you know, there are consequences for adultery. Poor guy. Ahaz, what was his problem? Well, his two northern neighbors, Syria, we would call it today, and the northern part of Israel, were invading his country. And their plan was, I'm going to read that in Isaiah chapter 7, they have plotted your ruin, saying, let's invade Judah, let's tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. And when he heard about what was going on, it says, the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Now, wind can do a lot of damage to trees. In the summer, we went up to Ottawa for a wedding of my niece. And on Highway 7, about 10 kilometers on either side of where the highway comes up from Belleville to meet Highway 7, there were trees down. They were just a swath of trees through the forest. A tornado had gone by and just wiped it out. It was crazy. At first I thought they were just tearing down trees to build houses. And then as I went along, kilometer after kilometer after kilometer, they were all completely down. That was Ahaz in his heart and his mind, and in the people of Jerusalem. The enemies were around them. They were attacking Jerusalem, and they were just shaken. You can't stop shaking when the wind is blowing that hard. And when you're that afraid, you are shaking. That was what was going on there. Joseph was wrestling with his decision, and Ahaz in Jerusalem were shaking with fear. So what does God do? He sends an angel to Joseph with a message. And you know the message. Do not be afraid. That's the same message that God sent Isaiah to Ahaz with. It was, be careful, keep calm. You're shaking like a leaf. Don't be afraid. God wants us not to be afraid, but to be trusting in Him. Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary or to take her home to be your wife. So don't be afraid to do this. The child in her is not from another man. The child in her is from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph was relieved. He had to have been relieved. He was tossing and turning, not been able to make that decision. And while he was sleeping at night, the angel came and said, don't be afraid to marry Mary. Take her home to be your wife. She needed the protection. The pregnant lady, unmarried, in those days would have a lot of danger in the community if there was no one there to protect her. God sent that angel to Joseph, and he needed it. And God sent Isaiah to Ahaz. And he says, listen, don't be worried about these two burnt out stubs of wood that are just still glowing. He said, in 65 years, Samaria won't even be there anymore. You can't even call it a nation. Don't worry about these two, the leaders. He said, it will not take place. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not happen. It will not take place. And then he encourages this wicked king. He said to him, if you do not stand firm in your faith, what faith did this wicked man have? But he's encouraging him to believe this message from God. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Well, I'm pretty sure Joseph believed, because the next morning when he got up, he went and took Mary home. And I don't know what Ahaz did. I don't think he repented. I don't think his faith was very strong, but God delivered him. But he gave special sons with special names to these different individuals, Isaiah and to Joseph. The special son for Joseph was that this child is from the Holy Spirit, and it's a fulfillment of the prophecy that was actually given to Ahaz through Isaiah. Mary will give birth to a son. You were to call him Joshua. The Greek version is Jesus, but it's actually the word Joshua, and which means that Jehovah saved. And you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now Ahaz was listening to Isaiah. They were good words to him. I don't know if he was believing them. And so Isaiah says, okay, now ask a sign. God's, you know, allowed you to ask for a sign, whether it's in the heavens or down deep in the sea, something, anything you want. And this is to help you with your faith. Now he's giving this sign to an evil king. He wants him to believe. And Ahaz says, no, don't tempt. I don't want to tempt the Lord. I don't want to test the Lord. And Isaiah gets mad at him. He says, oh my goodness, is it enough for you to, not enough for you to get me angry? You want to get God angry too? And he said, listen, God himself will give you a sign. He's choosing it. And this is what the sign is. The young woman, or the virgin, will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Well, I wonder what Ahaz thought about that kind of a sign. What does that mean? Well, the clue is in the name. It's Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Ahaz, this little child is going to be born, and before he is able to know the difference between right and wrong, your enemies will be defeated. They'll be gone. God is with us. That's the special sons with the special names. Well, Joseph and Mary, he brought her home, and he waited to make love to his wife until the child was born. So it was a waiting game for him. And the son was born, and he went ahead and obeyed the angel and named him Jesus. Jehovah saves. And there's victory. You know, in Revelations, one of the visions that the Apostle John saw was there was a woman who had 12 stars, and there was imagery about her making her known that she was Mary, and she was from Israel, and she was giving birth to a son, and the serpent, or the great dragon, was standing there waiting for her to deliver so he could devour her son. But God didn't allow it. He took the child up into heaven. But that's it's a version of a vision that skips a lot. And it skips out what Jesus did when he was on earth. And what was one of the first things that he did? He was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. And who won? It wasn't the devil. And John the Apostle says in 1 John that the mission that Jesus came, or the reason that he came, was to destroy the works of the devil. And John says another place in 1 John, he says that the reason he came was to deal with our sins, to take away our sins. Joseph and Mary. But who was the person who had the baby in Isaiah's time? It was Isaiah's wife. And the name of the baby was not given to be Emmanuel, but that was the sign that God would be with them. But there was a bigger name. And I don't know anybody who's ever called their child this. The name was Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Can you imagine? Maher Shalal Hashbaz, it's supper time. And God told Isaiah, this was to be the name. And he said, I want you to write it down, pen on paper. How do you spell that word? And he wrote it down, and then he called in, because it was a solemn ceremony of obedience to God. And he called in the high priest and somebody else, and they witnessed the name of this child. Then he says he went home and he made love to his wife, and she got pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. And the same thing was said to Isaiah and his wife as the Lord had said to Ahaz. Before the child is very old, in fact, before he even knows how to say, Mommy, Daddy, then your enemies will be defeated. And they named him Maher Shalal Hashbaz, which was a sign, and it was saying, swift to the booty, swift to the spoils. So after the enemies had been defeated, then all the Israelites would go out in the field and pick up all of the stuff that they left behind. And that was to be the special name of this son. A little bit later in chapter 8, which is where this is all talked about, Isaiah lets out a little hymn of victory. And it ends with this, talking to the nations. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Purpose your plan, but it will not stand, for Emmanuel, for God is with us. The victory was predicted, and it came to pass with the Son, the one who was born in the sign to Ahaz, was Isaiah's wife, and it was his son then too. Wow. Tough times, but God delivered, and God gave the victory. So what about this message of hope that God brought? Well, what came next in Joseph's story? After the baby had been born in Bethlehem, Magi came looking for the newborn king. Where is the child that has been born, the king of Israel? Because we have seen his star in the east, and we have come here to worship him. Well, they got the message. They got the memo. But Herod, King Herod, was not happy. And it says, Herod was shaken, and all of Jerusalem with him. Herod was very jealous of his being king. And he had put down a lot of his rivals. Even when they were in his family, he had had them killed. And if Herod is upset, then the whole city of Jerusalem was upset with him. This news, this message of hope, was not welcomed. It was taken as a threat by Herod, and that made all the people in Jerusalem worry, because when Herod was upset, a lot of people were killed, and they didn't want that. But they asked the scribes, the religious people, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? They knew, and they could tell when it was to happen. But there's no sign, there's no record of them investigating. Oh, really? Wow, is this what's happening now? Oh, good, let's go to Bethlehem and see. They weren't expecting the Messiah. The chief priests and his Sadducee party believed that the Messiah had already come back in the time when they were fighting against the Greeks and the Syrians, back in the time of the Maccabees. Well, what about the message of hope in the time of Isaiah? In chapter 9, the first 7 verses talk about the message of hope that was coming. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. So if you have the enemy attacking from the north, who gets it first? The part of Israel that was up north. That was the tribe of Zebulun, the tribe of Naphtali, and all around the Sea of Galilee. They always got it. And the Lord had humbled them in the past, but no more. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as the people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice in dividing the plunder. The people in the north of Israel, when Jesus was born, because Jesus came and Jesus' parents came from Nazareth and went back to Nazareth, and Jesus grew up there, and he started his ministry there. And this gloom and this darkness was just blown away. It's just like the fog being blown away by the wind, by the breeze. And he goes on to say, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Isaiah predicted that the virgin would have a child. And he understood it in his own time that he and his wife were to provide that child. But he knew that wasn't the long-term plan of God. Prophets would give a near-term prophecy that could be fulfilled in people's sight at their time, so that people would know that they were prophets. But they also prophesied for the long term. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. No end to peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Two stories about two children, but connected through 7.5 centuries through God's plan. And now, 21 centuries later, we are rejoicing and celebrating the birth of that last child, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.